Our story today concerned the life and the death of John the Baptizer. John was a wild person, unafraid and single-minded in his message. The kingdom of God has drawn near, repent and believe in the good news. And like many who are bold and unafraid to speak their truth, it cost John his life. The broad strokes of the story are well known. Salome dances and Herod makes foolish promises, and John the Baptizer loses his head. And while this story appears in the other later Gospels of Matthew and Luke as well, Mark's telling of the story is altogether more primitive and strange, with the sparse, teasing, enigmatic storytelling that epitomizes Mark, we hear of a truly perplexing relationship between a king and his enemy. This is a story of the opportunity for repentance and what happens when that opportunity is allowed to pass by. And this is a story of a most unlikely witness to the gospel. A person who is able to foretell the good news of God's victory over the powers of death. And remarkably, we find that that witness to God's power is King Herod. But to get there, we need to back way up. We need to back up and get some perspective on the story so that we can see it. And this story begins, as many stories do, it begins with a woman. This man in our story called King Herod, he ruled the northern part of Israel called Galilee. And he was at this time caught up in a national scandal because he had divorced his wife and married a woman named Herodias, who had been married to his brother Philip. People as far away as Rome were talking about this scandal. In fact, there are accounts of this in extant histories that we have. A historian named Josephus wrote about this. It was so scandalous. And the whole tawdry affair was being made worse by John the Baptizer, who was telling anybody and everybody that this marriage was unlawful. He had been publicly declaring that Herod and Herodias' marriage was invalid. And John was right. There's no question about the matter of the Jewish law. It strongly forbid what Herod had done. As long as his brother Philip was alive, it was considered incest for him to be married to his wife. But this was no abstract point of the law. This was not an infraction of the complicated Sabbath rules. No. John, in saying that their marriage was invalid, was also saying that his children were illegitimate, that they couldn't succeed him on the throne. In criticizing Herod's marriage, John the Baptizer was undermining the legitimacy of Herod's rule. This kind of talk was poisonous, treasonous, seditious, and it couldn't be allowed to just go on unpunished. Herod can't just allow people to say that he and his children have no claim to the throne. So Herod sent some of his men to arrest John, and they locked him up in prison in the palace. But once John had been arrested, Queen Herodias wanted to have him killed, which is a perfectly sensible thing to do to someone who is trying to undermine your authority, to undermine your claim to power. It's a sensible thing to do. But then something remarkable happens. Nothing. Nothing happens. Herod doesn't have John the Baptizer killed. In fact, verse 20 says that Herod protected John the Baptizer. Mark's explanation is simply too good to paraphrase, so I will read it directly. This is Mark chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And Herodias had a grudge against John, and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and Herod protected him. When Herod heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to John. When Herod heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to John. Why was Herod talking to this seditious prisoner at all? Why was he talking to John the Baptizer? And what did John have to say? What did he have to say that Herod found so attractive that he would speak to him despite the fact that his wife wanted him killed? And where did they talk? Where was Herod talking to John? Did he go visit him in prison? Did he go visit him late at night, sitting next to the cell, listening to John speak? It's that when Herod listened to John part. That's the part that gets me. It implies that this is something that he did over and over again. It's very strange, this relationship between Herod and John the Baptizer. But that arrangement couldn't possibly last. Not with Queen Herodias looking for a way to kill John the Baptizer, and sure enough, she found her chance. She found her chance to end this laughingstock of a king conferring with a conspirator. A madman, really. He had shown up wearing camel's hair, raving that all the stories in the scrolls of the prophets were coming true. John the Baptizer was dangerous, holy or no, and this banquet for Herod's birthday was the perfect chance to do what needed to be done. Wine was flowing, and all the upper crust were in attendance, and Salome, that brilliant girl Salome, had danced so beautifully, so alluringly, that Herod forgot himself. He forgot himself and started making all kinds of foolish promises, that he would give her whatever she wanted, anything, anything she could name under the sun. And Salome, who was twice wise, Salome ran to her mother and asked what she should say, and then quick as a rabbit, she was back in the banquet hall before dessert had been served, while the promises were still ringing in everyone's ears, and all sweetness, all innocence, beautiful Salome said, "Bring me the head of John the Baptizer on a platter." Silence. Herod was up against it now. He had made all those foolish oaths, and everybody who was anybody in the kingdom was sitting there waiting to see what he would have to say to this. And what could he say? What could he say? "I want this man alive, even though he challenges my rule, because I like the things that he has to say?" No. Herod was well and truly stuck. So he ordered his soldiers to go kill John the Baptizer, and with a speed that could only come from an unceremonious execution. The soldiers brought John's head into the banquet hall on a platter, like it was a piece of meat for the feast. And as Herod looked at that grisly scene, he could have no one to blame but himself. John's death flowed from Herod's sins as surely as night flows from the day. Yes, Herod had been tricked into killing his prisoner confidant. But John was only in danger because Herod had arrested him. And yes, John had been saying some uncomfortable things, but he never would have come around if Herod hadn't stolen his brother's wife in the first place. One sin required another, which then itself required a yet more grievous sin, until finally Herod was faced with a choice. A choice between breaking an oath in front of every bigwig in Galilee or killing a holy and righteous man. A holy man whose only crime was having the bravery to say out loud what others only gossiped about in private. Herod chose the latter. He had many chances to change course, but he let them all pass him by. Herod did the wrong thing, knowing it was wrong, because he thought doing the right thing would be too costly. Time passes. Perhaps weeks, perhaps months. And then some strange stories start to reach Herod. Rumors coming not just from the common people with their superstitions, but from the synagogue leaders and the tax collectors and the centurions even. They said that there was a man going through Galilee teaching. And ordinary people loved to listen to him teach. They followed him everywhere, loving to hear his teaching. And yet he perplexed even the scholars of the law. And they also told other darker tales that this man confronted demons, that with his words he returned terribly, terrifically haunted people back to life. There was power in the words that this man who was going through Galilee was speaking. And they had all sorts of theories about him. Some people said that he was Elijah, finally returned to earth. Some others said that he was possessed by Beelzebub. Likely they had been rebuked. Others said that this was a prophet, like the prophets of old. But listen to what verse 16 says. When Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod, there can be only one explanation of what is going on. The man that he had unjustly executed in an attempt to hold his life together as it threatened to fly apart under the force of his own sin, that man had returned to life. Herod believed, he firmly believed, that John had passed through the waters of death only to be raised back into life. And so I return to my earlier question with yet more urgency. What had John the Baptizer said to Herod? What had he said in that dark prison so that Herod was convinced that death could not hold this man? Had John talked to Herod about the kingdom of God? Was that what was so perplexing for Herod? The idea that God's passion was for the world to be organized for the good of the last and the least instead of the Herods and Caesars of the world. John surely had talked about the kingdom of God, surely. Because to pronounce that the kingdom of God had drawn near was the passion of John's life. Did John talk to Herod about repentance? Was that the topic that Herod so enjoyed listening to? That testimony that it is possible to turn around and live a new life, not bound by past mistakes? John surely had talked about repentance, for his was a message of new beginnings, a call to live differently because a new age had dawned. Surely John had talked about repentance. Had John offered Herod baptism? Whatever had passed between them, this much is clear. Herod had become deeply convinced that the power he wielded as an unrighteous king, the power to deal death, he became deeply convinced that that power was not the greatest power in the world. There is another power that Herod had glimpsed in John, the power of life and light and truth, a power born of repentance and sealed in baptism and strengthened by faith. Herod had glimpsed the power of God, and he knew that it was too great a power to be swallowed by death for long. For this reason, he believed that the man everyone was talking about who was teaching and casting out demons in Galilee must have been John the Baptizer returned to life. Of course, the final irony of this story, which is shot through with strange twists, the final irony is that King Herod is wrong. John had not come back from the dead. But Herod's testimony is so wrong, it's right. It is so wrong, it's right, because the man who was traveling through Galilee teaching and healing was not John the Baptizer, but Jesus Christ, who John had been preparing the world to receive. And in Herod was prepared. Herod seems to know something instinctively now that he had been speaking to John. And his belief that John must have come back to life is a kind of proto-evangelism. He was announcing the resurrection of Jesus even as Jesus was still alive. John was a fruitful witness to the Word, shining the light of the good news of the kingdom of God into the life of an adulterous and murderous king who did not even respect the bonds of family. But through John's words and his example, he showed Herod that while sin only ever leads into deeper and darker sins, doing what is right, even though it is frightening, especially when it is costly, doing what is right has the power to create new life where there had only been a spiral into death before. So when you encounter a time when you must decide between doing what is easy and doing what is right, say a prayer for John the Baptizer and do what is right. Amen.